I'm David Warren. This is The Road Show, and I'm interviewing my father, whom I call a gospel great, David Ingalls. And let's talk about music now. Was music your favorite class in school growing up?
Music was. I loved art, and I loved music. And, of course, art, you know, you have to sit down and get a pen or pencil and paper and go at it. Music, you can walk, run, and sing, and whistle.
Now, did you have voice lessons? You're a very good singer.
I did not have voice lessons early. Later on, after I'd gone to North Carolina with a vocal group there and did television daily and so forth, I found out about a voice coach, a great man that I could get some help from, and I called him, and he said that he would take me on, and he began to show me then some things to do, some breathing, some supportive tones, so you can save your voice and not get hoarse by singing 3 or 4 minutes, you know.
So that's what a voice, because I've had voice lessons before, and that's what I remembered, the breathing and the diaphragm, you know, being able to project, because really it's hard to teach someone how to carry a tune.
Kind of the physical parts, what you're talking about so far as the help is concerned. Oh, yeah, somebody has to have some musical, ability.
When did you, maybe it was early on as a boy, when would you hear things in your head like notes and know if something was flat or sharp?
You know, son, I don't remember ever not knowing that. I just kind of grew into it. I mean, I remember even being in the first and second and third grades singing at assemblies at school. Another young boy, Larry Rainbolt, would sing the melody. He's boy soprano. I would sing the alto just because I could hear it. I'd just sing the alto notes.
One of the things that you've talked about is learning from the Stamps Baxter School of shape notes as your love for music and country gospel quartet singing. For example, Blessed Assurance, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do me some of the shape notes in Blessed Assurance, because you can hear this in your head.
Mi, re, do, so, so, fa, sol, la, so, so, mi, so, do, ti, la, so, and then fi, so, mi, re, do, mi, so, so, fa, sol, la, so. Do, re, mi, fa, re, do, re, ti, do.
You know, you were born again at 13, you mentioned.
Yes.
Loved music. So why not go into gospel music and quartets full time? I mean, you did that, but you really started focusing on country music and songwriting for country style, I mean, country lyrics.
Well, but that came about basically, I think, David Warren, when I got a job in country radio. You know, I got a job in radio at a certain point, and I was the morning DJ with gospel, and then at afternoon time at 1, Billy Parker would come on the air with the country music on 1050 AM or Tulsa, Oklahoma.
One thing I'd like to do that we've never done on the Oasis Network is play one of my dad's old country songs, just to kind of give you an example of what I grew up around.
My.
Because when I was little, these are the songs I remember. But here's a song called Fate.
Fate moved in the house next door to me. Fate had a freckled nose and rosy cheeks. Little did I know or recognize it in its infancy, but fate had quite an influence on my life's love and destiny with fate. Fate wrote my name in chalk upon the board. Fate ordered the sodas that I couldn't afford. Fate gave looks to me like Mona Lisa never could have done. While we passed notes between our classes recklessly, I took my chance with fate. Fate said we should spring it on society. She insisted we announce it publicly. So with the knife I carved them there. Initials went inside a heart with me plus fate, and it still means as much to me as it did then and more. Fate prevailed upon me to secure some rings. Fate then had some friends to shower her with things. Fate's dad gave her away to me, and might I say reluctantly, but now he shakes my hand and pops the current question, how's things with a job? Fate presented me with a baby girl. Fate assigned me extra chores in my new world. What did I ever do to merit life with all these benefits, like pinning fresh three-cornered things on a tiny little replica of fate?
That's Fate by today's guest, David Ingalls, the Capitol single. And, of course, that was many moons ago, and that's what I remember when I was a very little boy, when you were recording country music. But along came a song a few years later that said, I don't sing those songs anymore.
Yeah, that would include basically the country music songs.
Why don't you sing those songs anymore?
Well, because... the Word of God, I decided to get into the Bible. I took a vacation one year, and I said, I'm getting into the Word of God. I'm going to study the Word of God and give the Word of God study the same honor that I gave my job. I got up, got ready to go to work, but it was vacation time, so I went into the front room and turned on a tape recorder of teaching tapes by Kenneth Hagin, reel-to-reel tapes, myself, Sharon, and a couple of other friends of ours. And we began to listen, and every time that Brother Hagin would come to a scripture, we'd stop it, top the tape, we'd look it up in the Bible and find it, and then we'd say, what do you think this means, you know, and we'd talk about it and everything. So by the end of that vacation time then, by that 1 week vacation, I had really gotten stirred up into the Word of God, really, in a serious way for the first time in my life. Now, since I'm in the Word of God, I began to find out that what we say or what we have said in the yesterdays of life is what we're reaping today. And so that's why that I wouldn't sing those country songs like Born to Lose, I've Lived My Life in Vain, etc. You know, now I sing I'm of the Seed of Abraham, and in him I move and live and have my being. And my life began to change to the good when I started setting my course by biblical words and concepts.
Tell us about those famous words that were spoken over today's guest, David Ingalls. The Lord spoke to me and told me some things. What did he tell you? What were those things?
Well, the Lord impressed us to start a Bible study. We're in Sepulpa at the library, just renting the library. Really, it was free, but we gave the janitor something for opening up the room for us. Brother Chuck Flynn, whom I did not know, he was from California, originally from Shawnee, Oklahoma. Roy Noble Sprague said, Brother Flynn's in the area. We could ask him to come for a Bible study on a Sunday afternoon. He did. He taught a while, and there was less than 25 people there, and he prophesied over every one of them. I'm at the piano with music and just kind of having an atmosphere for spiritual things, playing, you know. And then I'm the last one, and so he then spoke by the Holy Spirit. You'll begin to write with a new anointing, and through the music and through the singing. As you minister forth, my anointing will begin to flow out from you. And those who believe and receive that anointing will be healed in their body. Financial need will be met. Harmony will come to their life and home. The yoke of bondage will be broken because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And that's spoken over me. And there was a laughter, David, that came up out of my belly way down here that was uncontrollable, like an uncontrollable gushing, like, and I always liken it, well, I got pregnant that day with that word. And so after that meeting that day, you know how some church folks who fellowship, they'll go to a restaurant. So a number of us went to a restaurant, and we didn't have a tape recorder to have recorded everything. So it was by memory that we all remembered pieces and parts and put it together. So then Monday comes along, and I was thinking about that word, you'll begin to write. And I thought, wait, if I'm going to write, I need a yellow pad, or at least a pad, and I got a yellow pad, and a pencil. And I said, I'll need those as tools. And so then I just thought, well, I'll just head for the pad. And the thought comes, what if nothing comes? And I thought, well, I'll just mark up and down on the paper till something does come. If it don't come in a while, then I'll just wait a while. I'll come back to the pad again, get the pen, and I'll head for the paper. I'll keep going until something does come. So when I hit the paper, these words came. I will praise him in everything and thank him for what he has done. I will fight the good fight till faith turns to sight. I'll run till the race is run. Now, what God put in my heart is to the best of my understanding, write the revelation that the Lord is showing me in my spirit, that's the revelation of his word, and put that in music and sing it.
That then turned into the first recording, the first David Ingalls recording. Of course, a milestone for you is the 1975 Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. We won't go into that story because you've told that many times today.
Okay.
But and by the way, I think we should go public with thanking Kenneth Hagin Ministries.
Well, Brother Hagin has just contributed to my life from the months leading up to that point, and the years since it, because he asked me to travel with him, and I've been with him many places, and I've always appreciated that. Thank you, Brother Hagin. Thank you, Aretha. Thank you, Hagin family.
You know, when I decided to include you in the list of gospel greats, I was thinking, what, in my mind, David Warren, the person who's choosing, makes it a great? What qualifies them to be in this lineup? And I really went for pioneers, people who did something first. And so we talk about, I feel, you can correct me, but I don't know who it would be, you were really the first to start to write what we call the Pauline Revelation, the Word of Faith message, which you heard on Kenneth Hagin teaching. It's just these type of concepts, Mark 11:23, things like that, had not been put to music.
People had begun to get into singing scripture, you might say, almost pure King James, but nobody had gotten into language of song, you know, prose and song lyricing and so forth with what we call, you know, the new creation realities. David, I think I would like to mention Buddy Harrison, Brother Hagin's son-in-law that married his daughter Pat. And Buddy was very instrumental in helping me along in those early days. In fact, Buddy invited me to that first camp meeting.
Well, along came songs like I Am Healed, I'm a New Creation, I'm a Brand New Man, Mark 11:23-24, Satan Has Been Paralyzed, That Name.
There's a hit there. Remember that boy that helped me on that?
That was me.
Paralyzed?
The Seed of Abraham, You Won't Leave Here Like You Came in Jesus' Name, You Hold a Miracle, Who Shall Declare His Generation? There's a whole lot of people going home, The Word is Working Mightily in Me, and this song too.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in Him. I can now approach the presence of God with no condemnation of sin. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, I am now complete in Him. I'm a partaker of His divine nature, on me He will not impute sin. I have been crucified with Christ, crucified and buried with Him. We are one with Him in righteousness after we became one in sin. He became as we were, that we might be as He is now. He became one with us in death, we became one in life with Him. I'm confessing I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in Him. I can now approach the presence of God with no condemnation of sin. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, I am now complete in Him. I'm the partaker of his divine nature. On me he will not impute sin. He died to make us live, to make us righteous. He was made sin. He became weak to make us strong, suffered shame to give us glory. He went to hell to take us to heaven, was condemned to justify us. He was made sick to make us well, was cast out from the presence of God to make us welcome there. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in Him. I can now approach the presence of God with no condemnation of sin. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am now complete in Him. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. On me He will not impute sin. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in Him. I can now approach the presence of God with no condemnation of sin. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am now complete in Him. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. On me He will not impute sin. On me He will not impute sin. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new
I'm the righteousness of God in Christ by David Ingalls, today's guest, Gospel Great. And in fact, that song was on the very popular first real Christian recording you did. There's a whole lot of people going home in the chamber. I am the righteousness of God in Christ for this cause. Who shall declare His generation? A brand new tongue, that name. This is the refreshing. Of course, your music has gone around the world since then and has taken you around the world. And one of the places that it took us as a family, one time we went to Houston, Texas. The late, great John Osteen was pastor at Lakewood Church. And we stayed in the parsonage, which was a trailer that was all nicely done up. And there wasn't a television, or was there a television?
The television wasn't working, or either wasn't working or wasn't in there.
But the radio worked.
A radio worked, yes.
And we found a radio station in Houston. Wasn't ours. I mean, there was no Oasis network. We were just listening to the radio station. We found this station that was really great.
Older songs with beautiful melodies when people wrote beautiful melodies.
And so we found ourselves, instead of wanting to go look for entertainment, we would just want to stay home, talk, and listen to the radio.
Dad, Mom, and all the children, we were all there listening to the radio, but all reading maybe a book, but listening to the radio, you know, that's what we had.
So basically, in our opinion, that station had a really good programming.
Yes, beautiful.
Let's talk about programming and wanting to start a radio station that was like no other Christian radio station. What was your goal in starting the Oasis Network? Where families would want to listen to the radio like we did?
Yes. Of course, you know, you might say the basis of the goal was to bring the message of the new creation, of what a person really becomes when Christ comes in, and the unlimitless life of power that a person can live. But to bring that through teaching and through all of the music that you can find that would complement that idea.
Of course, teaching had... There had been many teachers on radio before.
There had been, but they didn't have the consistent lineup of the people that the Oasis Network has.
Explain what you mean by that.
Well, it just means, well, I'm talking about, well, of course, the first broadcaster is David Ingalls, you know, yours truly, Charles Capps, Kenneth Hagin, Bobby.
But on other stations, are you saying that maybe that doesn't always happen?
Well, you know, I don't know of it happening on another station. If there's a station where that happens, then let me know about it. We'll brag on them, too.
What about the music of the Oasis Network?
Well, we choose the music here as a group together, our committee. You know, the unknown word, the committee, covers all that. The kind of songs we play, we believe, from our perspective, are biblical, or they are patriotic, or they have a theme that is a blessing that is positive to people who will listen. Even if it's a humorous song, it has some value to bring something positive to a person as they listen. Like, for instance, the songs, even the praise songs, we watch the lyric very closely that we don't have on a song that is asking God to do something in this song that he's already done for us, like re-asking God. We pick music that harmonizes with what God has already done, the finished work of Christ.
When did you want to have a radio station? Has that been a long dream of yours?
Well, I wanted to have one quite a number of years ago. When I worked at KFMJ, I'd heard that there was a station in the area, an AM station, that had gone on the blank, and they were going to have a sheriff's sale over Creek County steps of the courthouse, and I showed up for that. And there was just one bid. It was the man that held the second mortgage. He just hit one bid, and he bid this big high number there, which was staggering to me at the moment. And so everybody dispersed and went to their cars because there's only one bid, and that's it. Sold to Mr. So-and-so. Well, I followed Mr. So-and-so out to that station, and I went to try to talk him into selling that station to me. So I either just one car for the secretary or the worker there, and his car, so two cars. So my car is car number three. I go into the lady or the girl, and I said, "May I see Mr. So-and-so? Just a minute." So she went, "Yes, he'll see you." I went in. He's sitting behind a desk and rocked back in a big office chair, you know, executive chair. And so I laid out my plan to him of how I'd like to buy this station. This is how I'd like to do it. And I presented it all verbally there for him. And he's rocked way back. And he rocked up to be level. And he said, "I don't believe I'll do that." Because, I mean, it was well over $100,000. First of all, I'd never offered anybody $10,000 for anything. So now I'm way up there, way well over $100,000. And so I made that offer to him. And he rocked up. He says, "I don't believe I'll do that." And it was just silent. And I said, "Well, you might have." And he said, "Yeah, I might have." So I shook his hand, thanked him for his audience, and walked out, got in my car, feeling a couple of feelings, one of which was above the other, and that was very relieved. The pressure was off of me from making that offer. But I had gotten to make an offer of well over $100,000 seriously to somebody, and that was a nice faith exercise for me.
Well, jumping forward, you wound up getting a radio station, which turned into a network, the Oasis Network. And do you feel that the Oasis Network is on track, programming-wise, what you had visioned in the beginning?
Yes. You know, I've got a video about an early statement that I made where Mike Flynn had done an interview, and so we did that video. And I was listening to it the other day, and it brought out a couple of things. But by and large, yes, we are right on target with the new creation realities and teaching and singing and the music, and it's great.
Well, here's the theme song of the Oasis Network, founded by today's guest, gospel great David Ingles. "I Found an Oasis of Love."
I came to this place from a dry, thirsty land, a drifter at heart with no definite plans. But words of a song from a small Jesus band turned one wasted life all around. I found an oasis of love. The pastures are green year round. A new life is mine with peace from above. I found an oasis of love. There's food for the hungry, joy for the sad, a home for the homeless, kids, moms, and dads. It may not appear your exacting ideal, but it's all that I needed, it's for real. I found an oasis of love. The pastures are green year round. A new life is mine with peace from above. I found an oasis of love. Sing to my King, praise and thank Him again. Because of His love, a loser can win. Hey, you on the desert of life, come on in and drink from the cup of a friend. I found an oasis of love. The pastures are green year round. A new life is mine with peace from above. I found an oasis of love. I found an oasis of love. The pastures are green year round. A new life is mine with peace from above. I found an oasis of love. I found that oasis of love.